On Friday, I told you that the truth of being designated beforehand in Christ, before sin entered the universe, makes it impossible to then sin your way out of being designated beforehand, because sin's not even in the picture when you were designated beforehand. I initially jumped onto that theme to once again disprove human free will. I had someone comment on my video saying that the truth of being designated beforehand for a place of a son by God does away with free will. And indeed it does, because if you can't sin your way out of salvation because it's been sealed beforehand, then how can you choose your way into that salvation? Let me say that again, since it's so great. I'll say it a different way. If you can't sin your way out of salvation because your salvation was already sealed before sin was even invented, then how can you believe your way into salvation, since your salvation was already sealed before you were born or could put anything into practice, good or bad? Now, we're going to review here before I go to Romans chapter 8 and deal with the free will issue and being designated beforehand. I told you I don't like theological terms. I don't like the term predestination. People think they know what that's all about. I like to use scriptural terms, designated beforehand. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, according as he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world. That's when sin entered in. We to be holy and flawless in his sight, in love, designating us beforehand for the place of a son for him through Christ Jesus, in accord with the delight of his will. This is not about you. You're delighted by it, I know that, but this is in accord with the delight of his will. His will, not yours. People feel guilty about it. So why did he choose me? I went through this when I first became a believer. As I told you, I was a Christian for a couple years before I became a believer. And I'm like, why me? You picked me. Oh, I don't deserve it. And it's like, yeah, of course you don't deserve it. God said, this is according to my pleasure. I did this to make myself feel good. I'm glad you feel good, sender. That's great. I'm all for it. But my primary motive was because it delights me to do this for you. So knock it off with the, oh, I'm so unworthy business. Don't do that business. I'm so unworthy. Of course you are. A little late to the party there, but yeah, good. I'm glad you realize you're so unworthy. And you think, how could God be this good to me? I don't deserve anything. Again, we know this. It's in accord with the delight of his will. Ephesians 1:5. The delight of his will. It makes him happy to do this for you. Stop screwing it up for him. This is what he wants. It's fun to take crazy people, to take sinners, to take nutcases, and to set them high above even Israel and put them in the most esteemed places in the universe. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 that we take that which is afforded less honor and we give it more exceeding honor, like the foot. The foot is supposed to be the least member of the human body. It walks on all the dog poop and stuff. And then what does Jesus do? He washes the feet of the disciples. He honors the feet. People come in, even in Japan today, what, they you take off your shoes, they honor your feet. In the Middle East, for sure, this is how it's done. You take that which is supposed to be less esteemed, and God says, I'll show you a thing or two about that, and he puts it way up there. So he takes us. That explains the title of my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. It's about the Apostle Paul. He takes the most ignoble person on the earth, and he sets him in the highest place. We're going to be taking our marching orders from Paul. He's numero uno in the body of Christ, my friends. So that was all a side issue. Just let God have his fun. Let God have his fun. Let him go. He's a wild child. This is what he wants to do. Hey, I didn't invent this. I'm just enjoying it. Quit thinking it's about you, or quit thinking that how could God be so good to you? He's being good to himself. He's a little selfish that way, okay? He's having fun with this. It's in accord with his delight. And it's also going to be delightful to him to take the chiefs of this eon, the people who everybody celebrates, like the movie stars and the politicians and all the intelligentsia, and to put them at the bottom. It's going to be fun, too. He loves to do that. That's going to be great fun for him. And he takes us who are at the bottom and puts us at the top. See, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. Yeah, kind of like, yeah, never mind. So, designating us beforehand. I am going to get to my topic du jour here. People think God's playing some kind of time game. I shouldn't say it that way. What I should say is that people play time games with us. Christians play time games with us to try to make, like, how do you take something so clear, designated beforehand for the place of ascent? How do you take something so easy to understand? I mean, this truth alone blows up free will, because free will says you're not saved yet. Again, free will starts everyone on the common ground of nobody's saved here, nobody's saved here, nobody's saved here. But I thought Jesus died for that. Forget it. Nobody's saved here. You're only saved by your free will. How can that be even possible if God designates us beforehand? Now, I'll say this. Due to Christ's work and undoing Adam, everybody's going to spend eternity with God. Everybody. Every human being. That's a given. That's a no-brainer. Of course, because Jesus Christ is greater than Adam. Read Romans 5, 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 28. Everybody returns to God. Romans 11, 36. It's like God locks up all together in stubbornness. Romans 11, 32 works here very well. So that he could have mercy on all. That's a given, okay? That's not even, duh. If you don't know that, then God help you. It's being designated beforehand for the place of a son. This is the especially salvation of 1 Timothy 4:10. God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. Especially for the place of a son. This being designated beforehand. I'm going to take you through this process in Romans 8. We're walking through life, and we wake up one day, and we suddenly, oh, God, I feel this call. Yeah, no kidding. You were designated before the disruption of the world. So obviously, sometime in your life, you're going to get this notion. You're going to scratch your head and say, oh, I got a crazy thought all of a sudden. I got a crazy thought. I'm thinking about God. And I wonder if I should order the book, Martin Zender's book. I wonder if I should get the Concordant Literal New Testament. Okay, all these things will come to you if you're designated beforehand. Going to get into the nuts and bolts of that. But here's the time game that people play on us to eliminate this truth. This shows the sheer desperation of people who believe in free will and eternal torment and all that other stuff. They need you to wake up. They need you to not be saved so that you can come to them and learn how to be saved, so that they have power over you. It's all a power play in the churches. Someone just invited me and a bunch of other people to go to Easter church. I'm going to go to church on Easter at 8:30. And like, why would you invite me? I wrote the book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. Oh, and there was a brunch afterwards at 11. I said, I'll be at the brunch. I have not yet written a book about not going to brunches. I've never come out publicly against brunches. I'm all for brunches. Just the church I hate. And the subtitle of my book is Why Going to Church Today is Unbiblical, Unchristlike, and Spiritually Risky. That's what people don't understand. It's not neutral. This woman that invited me, she just feels happy in church. That makes me feel happy. It's not neutral. Sit under a tree or something. Go to a park. Join a bowling league. Find some other way to feel happy, because this is not neutral ground. You are being bombarded by evil messages, satanic messages. In fact, this woman just texted me recently and said, I think I'm starting to develop extrasensory perception, ESP. Oh, God. ESP, I think, stands for especially stupid people. You become very vulnerable to obscene messages in church disguised as spiritual messages. So It's not neutral. I feel good there. Oh, well. Join a bowling league. Knit a shawl or something. Play bingo. Whatever you have to do. So this is, you go to church and you get this kind of thinking. That God designates you beforehand because he has this giant telescope and he looks ahead into the future. Because who could have a more powerful telescope than God? I mean, okay, he's got the best. So he looks into the future and he sees what you're going to do. Like, he has to wait and see, he has to see it. But this telescope can just like go into the future and grab it. He sees this guy named Bill, let's say. I always like to name random people Bill. I don't know why. It's not an insult to anybody named Bill. I see Bill.
I see Bill. Oh, look at Bill. I see Bill, and it looks like, wait a minute. Bill is deciding to believe in me. Look at that. I better make a note. I see that Bill, according to his free will, decides to believe in my son. Okay, now I gotta pre-designate the guy. All right, who else should I pre-designate? Let me see. I'll look through my telescope far off into the future. Oh, there's someone named Alice. Okay, make note of this. Must pre-designate Alice.
So the time game, they still put the emphasis on what you're doing, and God can only pre-designate you because he sees what you're going to do. In other words, God goes into the future. God has to go into the future to see what you're going to do by virtue of your free will. Then he comes back to his time. This is the time game. If you don't understand this, God bless you, because this is stupid. ESP, especially stupid people. Comes back to his time and designates, he has to, forced to designate. It's still a God who's forced, still a God who's reacting to what human beings are doing. Forced to pre-designate Alice and Bill because he looked ahead to see who would choose him. Now he pre-designates him. This is a time game. It's completely opposite of the truth, but I've heard this put forward. They have to do something desperate to eliminate the truth of being designated beforehand because it blows up their favorite teachings. Human free will, and that you can sin your way out of salvation. You have to be able to sin your way out of salvation because you need an organization over you to corral you. You need an organization that will invite you to ice cream socials and potlucks at the church so that they can manage your behavior. It's a power trip. If you give the truth out, people will be independently spiritual. And then they will come to somebody like me who has no vested interest in harnessing you. I have no power trip. I don't force anybody to come here. This is freedom. I'm not the president of a cult. I don't have an organization, Dr. Evil. I don't have an organization. Yes. Come to my website or I will not get $1 million. No, it's not about money. It's not about power. It's not about me influencing. It's just, this is a grassroots organization. That's what the mainstream organizations fear. The people will be free and they'll be able to go to the internet in the privacy of their room, find the truth, and become self-sufficient in Christ. When I say self-sufficient, I don't mean absolutely self-sufficient. I'm talking about this sufficiency in Christ. That's what I should say. They're sufficient in Christ. Christ doesn't need denominational walls. Christ doesn't need these officers over you. He doesn't use them. If you have an officer over you, somebody who's been anointed by a human organization and has a diploma on the wall, that you're in the wrong place. You're getting fed institutional, quote, truth, unquote. It's not truth. So the exact opposite is the truth, is that God designates you beforehand, then you believe. Then you believe. You believe because you were designated beforehand. You're not designated beforehand because you believe. The only way that could happen, even theoretically, is if God had this powerful telescope, is looking down into the future. But that's just a tricky way to think that they're believing in predestination, but they're still making you the arbiter and the author of your own salvation. I reject that. Isaiah 46:10, I'll close with this. God knows the end from the beginning. That's the way that verse is commonly understood. I just misquoted it on purpose. That's what I think King James says. God knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46:10. Even that, you can see the truth there. But it's God tells the end from the beginning. But even knows. Let's just go with the bad translation. Even the bad translation doesn't screw up the basic truth that I want to give you today before my video ends. Is that God knows the end from the beginning. He doesn't have to go to the end to fetch it, to see it, to figure out what he has to do now in his God time. No, he knows the end. He knows the end, but he knows it from the beginning. He knows it before anything has unwound in time, before anything has even occurred in the time realm. Nothing has yet occurred in the time realm. God dictates. This is why the word tells in the concordant version of the Old Testament is important here. God tells the end from the beginning. Just like Romans chapter 9, Jacob and Esau, before they had put anything into practice, good or evil, God said, Jacob, I love, Esau, I hate. Before they have put anything into practice, that also blows up the idea that God waits to see what you're going to put into practice. It still depends on people putting things into practice. But I told you that we're saved, 2 Timothy 1:9, apart from our acts, apart from works, apart from putting anything into practice. Romans 9 corroborates that. Before Jacob and Esau put anything into practice. Why? Because God designated beforehand which one would do what. This isn't screwing up anyone's eternal life, okay? This is about aeonian life. This kind of like ends what I began with, aeonian life. Everybody's saved for eternity, but not everybody has the special life of aeonian life. And that these are the people God is calling out now. He's calling them out to accord with already designating them beforehand. They're designated beforehand, then they're called. That's the proper order here. They're designated beforehand, then they're called. This brings them into a knowledge that they are part of God's plan. They are will now be used as an elect. Yes, there is such a thing as an elect. But God doesn't choose the elect and damn the rest. No, he chooses the elect in order to eventually reach the rest.